Hi, I'm Jeff Jenkins, Executive Director for the Texas Chiropractic Association, and I'm excited to announce the launch of TCA Talk, the first in a series of podcasts meant to educate and inform the chiropractic community. Today with me is TCA President, Dr. Max Vijay, who's a licensed DC from League City, and Dr. Tice Herger, TCA's immediate past president and a chiropractor from Grapevine. Both of these fine gentlemen have been an integral part of some of the great successes we've enjoyed in Texas, including the 2017 legislative session, which resulted in the signing into law of four pro-chiropractic bills. The most significant of these bills, Senate Bill 304, affirmed your right to diagnose. So, gentlemen, thank you guys for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. We're making progress, but we still have a long way to go, including a major legal challenge that could impact your right to practice and has the potential to limit access for your patients. And what we're talking about today is the Texas Medical Association versus the Texas Board of Chiropractic Examiners lawsuit. You guys may have heard about this, but chiropractic lost round one to TMA in the Travis County District Court last year. Both TBC and TCA, which is a defendant in the case, are appealing the decision in the Third Court of Appeals. For whatever reason, there seems to be a lack of recognition by chiropractors about what's at stake in this trial, and that is the reason we're having the podcast today. So, doctors, can you give us a little background and tell us what this case is really about?
At its essence, this case goes after the heart of chiropractic. It goes after our ability to affect the nervous system. It goes after our ability to diagnose and treat the subluxation complex. And then it attacks diagnosis at its very core yet again. A point that we thought after the last diagnosis lawsuit that we had gotten clarification. We've gotten further clarification in the form of legislation, but it doesn't seem to matter what we get accomplished. The Texas Medical Association is relentless in their desire to gut the chiropractic profession.
Dr. Vijay, is there anything you want to add?
No, I think Dr. Herger covered pretty thoroughly there. Again, if you don't have the ability to diagnose, treat subluxation complex, or treat nerves, I mean, my practice as it exists ceases. And I think that's why we're trying to get the message across just how critical this is to other doctors here in the state of Texas.
Great. So I thought that we had won the right to diagnose during the last legislative session. I mentioned that Senate bill there. Yeah, I thought everything was okay, and I think a lot of other doctors seem to think that everything's fine here. What's wrong with that perception? Where do you think that might not be the case?
Well, again, anytime you apply common sense and logic to anything legal or anything to do with the legislature, you're usually making a mistake. We did a good job in the last legislative session in getting a simple one word and a comma change to our Chiropractic Act that provided some clarification. It by no means fixes this lawsuit. We think it helps solidify our position, but to think that because we got the one little fix that everything is hunky-dory, it's not. We're still in some pretty serious jeopardy with regard to the nervous system and regarding subluxation complex.
Okay.
That threat is imminent, and again, when you're dealing with different realms, you got the legal realm, legislative realm, they don't always coincide. So that's why we have to go through every steps of process, and that's why we're being attacked from multiple fronts at all times. That's why it's so important that we continue putting up this fight and leadership, keep striving towards defending chiropractic.
Okay. So where do we stand with the appeal right now? How long do you think this whole process might take? Dr. Vijay, do you kind of have a sense, in dealing with our legal counsel, what we're looking at?
Well, we just filed our last response brief a couple Fridays ago, so we're looking anywhere from 1 to 6 months before we get, if we're going to go to oral argument. At that stage, it probably won't be until next fall before this actually goes to trial. We think we put up a very good argument. We had several versions and several meetings trying to make sure that our appellate attorney was on the same page as us on what was that threat and the verbiage and how we practice. We feel very good about our argument, and there's not much more I can say about our appellate attorney, Matt Wood. He defended us in the previous lawsuit, did an excellent job, brought us to victory, and we're hoping we do the same this time.
That's awesome. So, gentlemen, what are some of TCA's arguments to overturn the decision? And I also heard that there was some pretty amazing stuff in TMA's response brief. So would you mind sharing a few highlights from what TMA wrote?
Dr. Vijay, you mind if I read a little from TMA's 100-plus page brief?
Please.
A lot of a legal brief is pretty boring. They just kind of recap everything that's happened to date. But there will be little nuggets that really show where the other side feels that we stand. What they're talking about on page 22 of the TMA brief is examples of where a chiropractor would have to differently evaluate other organ systems outside the musculoskeletal system to determine, you know, if a patient needs referral or if we're going to treat or if it's, you know, in or outside of our scope of practice. So the example they give is weakness in the leg. A weakness in the leg could have a musculoskeletal cause, but it could also have a neurological cause. So by performing simple neurological tests, a chiropractor should be allowed to rule out neurological diseases or disorders. Here's what TMA has to say about that. Telling a patient that there is no neurological defect or disorder is just as much a diagnosis as telling the patient there is. So, this is again according to TMA, is a patient supposed to know that the chiropractor delivering the diagnosis wearing the same long white coat with a stethoscope around his or her neck is authorized by law to diagnose the biomechanical condition of the patient's spine and musculoskeletal system? So, in other words, how dare you? A, wear a stethoscope, B, wear a white coat, and C, determine if a patient's leg weakness requires medical intervention or chiropractic intervention. So, it's pretty blatant.
And here I have another snippet from this brief. TMA believes that if you're evaluating a patient and that there's a problem that may be outside of your scope, you are immediately to cease any further evaluation of that patient and make appropriate referral without any other further diagnostic work. Because that's not, it's not inside our scope. That's not inside our training and our education and our skill set.
So, an example, let's say I find a patient has a diminished reflex, diminished patellar reflex. I need to immediately throw my reflex hammer down, call 911, and have them transported to the nearest emergency room.
Yes.
Okay.
And perhaps not be wearing a stethoscope or a white coat in doing so.
True. I won't refer to myself as doctor either.
There's 109 pages of this stuff, too, so thank you, gentlemen, for sharing.
We could go on all
things.
Night.
We don't have time for that, but I appreciate you sharing those two things there. Thank you, gentlemen. There's also been some rumblings out there that this lawsuit is somehow TCA's fault, that it's the result of our contending efforts to drastically expand scope. Would either of you care to address that?
I'll start. Chiropractic scope of practice hasn't changed in over 40 years. Most of it goes back to the 40s. We didn't gain the ability to even treat the extremities until 1989. So the thought that we have drastically tried to increase scope is just a lie. Anytime there's a legal battle, everybody wants to assign blame, and to say that it's TCA's fault that we're in a lawsuit. I guess, you know, to some degree, when we say, yeah, we want to be a part of this suit because it's it determines the future of our profession, yeah, I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame for stepping up and saying, okay, yeah, let's make sure that we get this right and make sure we protect our doctors' rights.
I agree. I mean, we've joined into lawsuits to defend and protect our profession. I mean, without a practice, I can't help my patients, can't provide for my family, and that's why I'm so passionate about being in this leadership role and fighting that for every day for our profession, state of Texas.
Dr. Vijay, I heard the rumor that this case might not end with the Third Court of Appeals should it proceed. How likely is it that this might go to the Texas Supreme Court? What do you see there?
I'm from all our advisors, legal advisors, it's going to go on. No matter who loses, it will go to the Supreme Court. That's why it doesn't mean that you don't have to give all effort out right now to what we're doing, because there's no guarantee to go to the Supreme Court. That's why these response briefs have to have enough justification to even get oral argument to the next step. That's why we put so much time, effort, and resources into getting this far in the process. So we'll be going to the next level.
And final question, I know what happens in the courts is outside of our hands directly, but what can Texas chiropractors, and really DCs from anywhere in the U.S., what can they do at this point to help the cause? Gentlemen, do you have any suggestions on how people can be part of this?
Contribute. You know, it's not a cheap battle. You know, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars with every step. And dragging on for at least, I heard, a little over a year today. Is that right?
Correct.
The longer it drags on, the more money it costs. So donate, be a member of TCA. If you're out of state, you can be an out of state member. If you're a vendor or a spouse or a family member of a DC, you can be a friend of chiropractic. Every penny that you donate to the CDI fund goes to fund legal battles, goes to fund legislative change and PR for the chiropractic profession. And am I right in saying that it's 100% tax deductible?
It is.
So as we get close to the end of the year, you might think about, giving, it's basically a donation to your profession, a donation to yourself.
I always say it's a tax deductible, venture to protect, to keep your practice alive. It's hard to not, we have money that we're going to be spending and contributing for our tax deductions. Why not put it back to defend you directly? I know there's a lot of good causes locally. I'm involved in my local community, but this is number one. We got to have our practices thriving and going. Also, be informed. Open up the email, the newsletters, watch the videos. We're going to have a tour of Texas coming around to an area near you. Attend, become informed, be engaged. We need more people giving input. If you have questions, that's a perfect opportunity to ask them to your leadership. We have town hall meetings. Post questions, ask us. If you don't know what's going on or why, reach out to, TCA office or 20 of your leaders. We'll take the time to respond and inform you and tell you why we're doing the things we're doing and why we feel it's so important.
Well, I want to thank you guys. I know Dr. Herbert worked an amazing amount of hours during his term, and Dr. Vijay and the rest of the executives and the leadership team are doing the same. We appreciate all that you do for the profession, looking out for your fellow colleagues and for your patients around the state. And guys, just stay tuned. We'll have more of these down the road, but we hope you found this information useful, and just reach out and get involved. Have a great day.